I am super excited to share with you guys today. We are going to be preaching from the title, Designed to Serve. So if you have your journals, your notebooks, your phones, you want to start a new note, the title of today's message is Designed to Serve. Just before we get into the word, I just want to ask, if you serve in any ministry in this church, whether it is kids, junior high, senior high, young adults, door greeting, hospitality, ushering, whatever sound, wherever you serve, can you guys just stand up for a moment? If you serve in this church in any capacity, I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you so much for serving. This church wouldn't be where it is today. We wouldn't be who we are unless we have some servants. And I just want to thank every single one of you. So can we just give a round of applause for these superstars? Awesome. Thank you so much. So if you guys have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, that is in the New Testament. If you are unfamiliar with the Bible, if you were to open up your Bible, there's an Old Testament and New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 4. It's near the end, right before the dark stuff with Revelations, and I'm just kidding, but it's near the end. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Say, holla when you were there. Holla. It's going to be fun today, Pastor Jeff. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live with the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable adultery. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel is preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but a living according to God and to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert, sober-minded, that you may pray. This is one of my favorite verses right here. Verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. These next two verses, this is where we're going to be camping for today. So verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to preach your word. It is a privilege, Jesus. And I just pray that you be with us this service. Let me preach with clarity and confidence in Jesus. I just pray that we leave this place with an understanding that you've given us something to serve this church. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Bless these leaders, Lord. And I just pray right now, blessing upon our pastor. He is so awesome, and I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to serve underneath him. Pray favor and blessing upon his family and Katrina, who is now a part of his family, Jesus. Thank you so much. And please bless the Colorado Avalanche as they're going to enter the playoffs, win the Stanley Cup, and we're going to get Jack Hughes. In Jesus' holy name, everybody said, amen. I have a question for you guys. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what your hidden talent is. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what you're good at. That no one else may be good at, but turn to them and tell them what your hidden talent is. Maybe you can whistle like some really cool tunes. Maybe you can juggle. I'm jealous. Turn to the person next to you and tell them your hidden talent. Awesome. So, church, I want to tell you today, there is a common phrase that people say when it comes to talents. They say that everybody has a hidden talent. Every single person has a hidden talent. You know, growing up, they would tell me, Nick, you have a hidden talent. You have a talent. Well, church, we believe that we speak truth. We preach truth in this church. And I'm here to tell you that the truth is that saying is a lie. Okay? Not everyone has a talent, and I'm here to stand today proud and say, I don't have a talent, okay? I got no talent. I don't have any skills or any of that sort of stuff. But I do believe that I have a gifting, okay? I have a gifting. Growing up, I am the oldest of three brothers. My mom, she has this amazing, incredible gift of hospitality. We always had people over at our house constantly growing up. We just had people over all the time. My mom would make waffles when my friends were over. Oh, it was the best, okay? My father, he has an incredible gift of athleticism. He's done so many sports. He's just an athlete. He kills it all the time. He still plays hockey. He calls me and he says, he doesn't say Pastor Nick. He says, Nick, I scored some goals. And I'm like, good for you, Dad. I just want to be like you. I love you so much. And my brother's Patrick, he is the middle child. He's incredible. He works at Starbucks. And he's just an artist. He has this incredible gifting of the arts, even the language arts. He's learning Russian right now. It's amazing. I'm so, so jealous. My youngest brother, Cameron, he's sitting right over there. Can you guys just say hi, Cameron? Just, I love him so much. Oh, you're so good looking, dude. You look so nice. Man. Cameron, he took after my dad, and he is just so athletic. He's incredible. Like, he was a goalie when he was younger for hockey, and then he's this incredible hockey player now. He went to BC for baseball. He has this amazing, amazing gift. And then there's me, you know? Like I'm in the middle, but if I had to pick, I am a mixture of both my mom and dad. I love serving people. That is something that I'm really passionate about, just loving people, hanging out with people. And my dad, I have no athleticism, but I love sports. Like, I show up. I try, you know? Thank you so much. You guys can clap for that. That's awesome. When I was younger in elementary school, I tried out for every sport I could, all of them. I tried. And soccer came around, and I played Timbit soccer. Shout out to Tim Hortons. Love you guys so much for your donuts. But I remember signing up for the soccer team. Like, I did it, you know, Timbit soccer. I can do this. So I signed up for the team, and I made the team. I think I was the last one picked, but, you know, praise God. Thank you so much. It is tournament day. So we were practicing, we were doing our thing, and then tournament day happened. Schools across Ottawa, we all gather at this field, and we're playing, and I'm just like, go team, yeah. Like, I got my jersey on, my St. Luke's Elementary School jersey on, and I'm wearing it, repping it. And, you know, church, I want to tell you today confidently, happy that I did not score a single goal in that tournament. Dom, don't clap. Come on, brother. I didn't get an assist. I didn't get any of that, you know? But I'm here proudly to say I got one shift. Hello! One shift in the whole tournament. It was awesome. I don't really have a talent, but I do have a gifting. I take after my mom. My gifting, my role on the team, my role for that team was my mom brought the oranges. My mom brought the oranges. In every soccer team, there's always that person that needs to provide the juice, needs to provide the team goods. And my role was my mom brought the team oranges. And they loved me. They cheered for me because my mom makes amazing orange juice, I guess. You know, it was awesome. Church, I want to tell you guys today that every single one of you, you guys have a gift. God has provided you with a gift. We all have a gift. You may not have the gift to be on stage. You may not be the most charismatic person. You may be more behind the scenes, doing sound, doing whatever it is, welcoming people. We each have a gifting, whether it's in public or behind the scenes. We all have a gift. And the truth is, no gift is more important than the other. In the church today, we all have a role. We all have a gift that God has put inside of us. He has put inside of us. My main point for today, if you're into taking notes, my whole message signed into one line, if you want to write this down, the main point for today is God has given you a gift for this church. God has given you a gift for this church. He has placed something inside of you, a unique gift that only you have for this church. For this church. God has given you a gift for this church. Now, it's really important that you understand that I said for this church. We live in a city with so many amazing, incredible churches. We got Woodvale, Bethel, Life Center, The Met, and so many more churches. But God has placed you here at CPC for a reason. There is purpose in that. God has provided something for you for this church. God wants to do something unique in this church. And each of you in this room today has a role, has a part to play. God has provided you with something for this church. God wants to do something unique in CPC, and you have a part today. Are you guys excited about that? You have a part to play. God has provided something inside of you for this church. The problem is that there's so many people that they use their giftings for themselves. They use their talents, their giftings, and they think it's for themselves. But in reality, God's placed that gifting, that talent for you, for this church. This verse shares that later on, and it says that it's actually for God's glory. It's for his purpose. It's for his will. It's for him. God gets the glory. He's given you something. He's provided something inside of you for his purpose, for his glory. So today, church, I am going to be transitioning soon, but I just want to let you guys know that today, a loss for me would be that if you leave this place not knowing that God has provided something inside of you, a gifting to use for this church. God has placed something inside of you for this church. And I want you guys to know that you have purpose. He has given you something to use for this church, and he has provided something for you. You are loved. And if I could say one thing for today, it would be that you are loved. God has chosen you. He has called you. And the fact that he's provided something inside of you says that you have purpose.
Purpose. Purpose is the reason for which something is created for or for which something exists. Now, many of you may not know this about me, but I love history. I was the history nerd in school, and I don't care. I loved history so much that when we went on family vacations, we would camp up and down the East Coast pretty much every summer, more or less every summer. And every time we went somewhere, I would beg my parents to go to like a museum or go tour. My favorite thing to do was to go tour old, massive historical homes. And one house that is currently still on my list, and I will get to it one day, is the Biltmore Estate. How many of you ever heard of the Vanderbilt family? All right, so for those of you that don't know, go Google them, because they're very rich. And so their Biltmore Estate is massive. Like, it is huge. I should have put a picture up there, but it probably wouldn't have fit on the screen because it is so big. It is actually, it is the largest resident house in North America. So their family still technically lives there today, but that's how big their house is. When I was probably 7 or 8, kids, who's 7 or 8 here? No, there's like, you're so small, I can't see your hands. So when I was about 7 or 8, we went to their summer cottage in New York City, and their summer cottage is bigger than this church, okay? So that puts it into perspective for you. Their cottage, the one they went to for like a couple months, was bigger than this entire building. So their house is huge. And you're like, Pastor Haley, how the heck does this have to do with this context of this scripture? But when I was reading it and I came to the word steward, this house instantly came into my mind, and then I came up with the definition of what steward is. So steward is a Greek noun, fun fact for you, is a Greek noun, and it means manager of a household or estate. So a steward works for a master or a house owner, and they're responsible to see that all of the needs of every single person in that house, if it is in the house, if it's the grounds, a steward's job is to meet all of those needs and to make sure that everyone is like happy, make sure that everyone was content with where they were living. So my parents went to the Biltmore Estate, and I'm not going to lie to you, I was really jealous when they told me that they went, and they showed me pictures when I went home to visit, and I was like, dang it, I wish I was still in high school and I was still able to go on vacation with you and not have to pay for it myself. Kids, live at home for as long as possible. Make your parents pay for your vacations. You'll go places. Other than that, you got to pay for it yourself. But anyways, my parents were talking to me, and they told me that in the mid-1970s, there was 100 people that worked at the Biltmore Estate. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of people. Could you imagine if we had 100 staff, Pastor Jeff? Wouldn't that be great? We could use them all. So they had 100 people in the mid-1970s. And so my curiosity kicked in when I was preparing this sermon, And I thought to myself, I wonder, this house is still running today. You can go visit it. It's beautiful and big. So I was like, I wonder how many people work there today. Do you want to know? 2,400 people are working at this house. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people stewarding. There's probably a lot of bosses, a lot of people, a lot of head honchos. But there are over 2,000 people that are responsible, and they make sure that jobs are accomplished. That's a lot of people. Wouldn't that be amazing, Pastor Jeff? 2,000 people. So in the context of this estate, these people, over 2,000 people, use their gifts and their abilities every single day to make sure that this house still runs, so that people can come and visit, so that they can come and learn about this family and about the history. And really, there's people's job also in this house is to make sure that the family is able to live in a functional house. And I'm sure they still need a lot of people to get that house running. But today's context, you're like, okay, massive, beautiful, big house, absolutely. Today's context, we are stewards of this church. We are responsible. We are held responsible by God to use the gifts that He has called us and He has given to us. We are stewards of this amazing building, growing God's kingdom and using the gifts that God has given each and every single one of you to do the bigger task. If it was just Pastor Jeff, I'm sure it would be an amazing job. Or if it was just Pastor Nick, we'd just be playing games all the time and it'd be amazing and everyone would have like hood language or something like that. I don't know. But as a group, sorry to offend you, as a group, we work together to make this church run. But without any of us, without God, there's no reason why we are here. Without God, we are held responsible every single day to use our gifts and our abilities so we can grow, we can do the bigger task than on our own. I want to point something out to you. Can you actually go back to, never mind, don't worry about it. You can look it in your Bible. Notice that Peter, he does not make a distinction between spiritual gifts or your natural gifts and abilities. There are things that you can do that I certainly cannot do. I can play volleyball. That is about it. Other than that, don't trust me because you'll probably get a ball in the face. Dodgeball, kids, if you come on Wednesday nights, I'm normally sitting in the corner filling out incident reports because a certain person in the room over here shall not be named Peter. He has a gift to play dodgeball. I don't, but he uses his gifts. Anyways, so in this passage, Peter does not include the distinction between spiritual gifts and natural gifts and abilities. We are told to serve with what is given in our hands. So when we use our gifts, we are able to see ourselves in two things, servants of others and stewards of God's property. In this passage, our gifts are referred to for two specific things, God's grace. Gifts are given to us by God, with no thought of this person needs to earn, needs to do this, 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 and this, and then I'll give them this gift. No, God, when God was creating you, God said, this person's going to have this gift because I have a plan for them to use it and do amazing things in their life. If you have a talent to play an instrument, God bless you because I can't. But God knew that He was going to give you that for a specific reason. And I'm going to put this out there. Do not ever be proud or puffed up about the gift that you have been given and that God is using you in a public place, or if you're sad because God's using you behind closed doors. I do not care if you are standing on this stage, if you are leading a group, if you are here super late at night painting sets. No matter what you do, God has given you a gift and you are called to use it. If you go to a birthday party and you bring someone a gift, do you bring it back home? No. The reason you have the gift is to give it so that they can use it. And that is what God has given to us. But it may not be glamorous, it may not be easy, but we are called to use what God has given us. The other thing that it says is in various forms. Now, if I got my kids to stand up and start listing off gifts that they have, if it is spiritual or if it is a natural gift or a natural talent, I am sure some of them will come up with 9 things. Some of them will come up with 19. Some of them would come up with like 27 different things. Because God, kids, I've been teaching you this month. God makes us as what? Someone said it. Unique. Individuals. God has made you as an individual person. If all of us tally up all of our special gifts, the special talents, the special spiritual things that God has placed in placed in each and every single one of our lives, the amount of things that we would be able to accomplish together would be phenomenal. God has made us all differently, and when we multiply the spiritual gifts with our talents, personalities, passions, and visions, we are able to do more for the body of Christ together than we are on our own. If you have the gift of knowledge, if you have the gift of being able to speak wisdom into someone's life, you may think, I can't do much with that. I'm just talking to people. But let me tell you this. Speaking words of knowledge, helping someone guide themselves, walk through a certain situation that you have faced can be pretty phenomenal. Can I get Carter, and Anna, can you come up on stage? You two may want to move. You're in the zone. You're in the danger zone. So a couple months ago, last month, I taught this exact verse to our kids. So kids, you may remember this. You're perfect standing right there. Do you trust me? Oh, okay. Do you trust your son? All right, so kids, yeah, back up. Don't back up too far. So kids, you will remember this. I gave out 3 gifts to specific kids in our audience, and then we did some fun things. And we're going to demonstrate one this morning. So earlier this morning when Anna was here bright and early with her parents, I gave her 3 gifts because Anna has amazing talents. So I gave Anna 2 umbrellas because Anna loves to help people. She loves to protect people. And who doesn't love an umbrella in the rain or when a stranger comes up behind you and you like accidentally ended up being under their umbrella? You're like, thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to be soaking wet today. So I gave Anna some umbrellas. Now, some of you may know this. If you're in kids ministry, you'll know this. Anna loves to color. If you go into my office, I have a bulletin board and the majority of the stuff on there is from Anna. There was tons from today. So I was like, what should I get Anna? I got her a pencil case full of crayons. Yeah, amazing. And then our last gift is a bag, which is going to get stuck. I gave her a bag because, one, it's pretty and there's flowers on it. And 2, again, Anna likes to help people. So Anna, you stand here for 2 seconds, okay? Now, I called these 2 up. Kurt, I've been told you play sports. A little bit, yeah. I know this for a fact because Pete plays football with Carter every Wednesday and Sundays. They try and get one out of me. So you have a good arm, don't you? Yeah. All right. So, Kurt, easy task. Your son is going to throw you maybe a football, all the dodgeballs, and you have to catch every single one of them, and you can't drop any of them. Do you think Kurt can do that? No faith. All right. Start picking them up. Start throwing them out. Oh, easy. 1. No problem. No, 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 no. You got to hold them. You got to hold them all. Oh! All right, you can stop. All right. Now, Kurt. Oh, can I have that back, Steve? He dodgeballs. What'd you just say? It's like, all right. So, Kurt, is there someone maybe on this stage that has a gift that could probably help you?
Anybody on the
stage? Yeah, someone on the stage. Do you think there's someone on the stage that has a gift that may be able to help you in this situation? Were you paying attention earlier? Yeah! Oh, my goodness! Anna, you have 3 amazing gifts. You have 3 amazing talents. Which of these fabulous gifts do you think would be able to help Kurt? Oh, my goodness! The bag! Amazing. All right, so I'll take these back. Actually, you can just help me give them back to your son. All right, Anna, using your gift, can you go stand beside Kurt and help him? Help him. Now, Kurt, do you have more faith that you are able to catch them and then hand them off to Anna? Do you think you can do this one? All right, don't hurt him, okay? I'm not filling out an incident report this morning, all right? Sounds good. Pete, this is why I didn't pick you. All right. Oh, look it. So much easier. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Oh, he's bringing out the football. Oh, look at that. You were kind. All right, you guys can grab a seat. Now, ladies and gentlemen, was Anna's gift just a bag? No, not at all. No, Anna's gift was to help someone else that was in need. How many of you are able to help someone out when they're in need? It may be as simple as, just being like, hey, I got your back. Like, I'm going to help. I'm going to walk you through this situation. It could be literally going over to someone's house and saying, hey, I heard you're in this situation. Let me make you dinner. It could be, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, VBS is coming up. Hey, Pastor Haley, do you need assistance? Absolutely. There is always something for you to do. You just have to look. So I'll give you a little secret. You do not have to look very far to find what God has called you to do, to use your gifts. If you pay attention to the needs around you, pay attention to the needs around you. Don't pay attention to the needs that you have, because you won't get very far in life. If Kurt just was like stuck in his zone and was like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm going to catch however many dodgeballs are in there, he wouldn't have done it. But he was able to look and pay attention, and Anna was paying attention and saying, hey, no, I can help this. I can use this situation. So don't think about your needs. Think about the people around you, because when we work together, we are able to do far more for the body of Christ than when we are by ourselves.
So friends, in my house, there are two types of food. I don't know what's in your house. So we have Doritos, and then we have bananas. We have the healthy food and the unhealthy food. And so, I don't know about you, but at nighttime, my wife and I are watching a TV show, and even though I've had supper, I get this rumbly in my stomach, and I feel like I need to eat something. And I'll go over to my counter where the pantry is, and I'll see the bananas. My wife loves bananas, and so I'll see the bananas, and I'll think to myself, I know these bananas are good for me. I know they are full of vitamins. I know that they will help me accomplish life goals to decrease right here and to get much more healthier. And I look at the bananas, and I actually like bananas. I like bananas. They're probably my favorite fruit. And then something causes me to bypass the bananas and go into the pantry where I see my favorite snack food, Doritos. And friends, I look at these Doritos, and I look at them, and I know that they are not going to help me with my life goals. I know that they are not full of vitamins. I don't even know if there is a vitamin in this thing. The vitamin A, 0%. Calcium, iron, no vitamin C. I mean, there's nothing in here that's healthy. But man, they taste good. I look at the two objects, the two different types of food. The fruit that's healthy, the Doritos that are tasty, and I gotta confess that I always choose the Doritos over the bananas. How many are with me with the Doritos over the bananas? Yeah. Now listen, it's so crazy because I understand the benefits of bananas. Don't touch them. You always eat my food. Just leave it alone. Sit down. He's always eating my food. He ate God's food last time we talked about tithing. I know which food I should choose, but I end up choosing something that's less healthy. Why? Because of something I call the push. This push inside of me. You see, push means to move something in a specific direction with external force. To move it in a direction. And so I'm going towards the cupboard, and I see the bananas, and something inside of me, some push inside of me, causes me to go past the bananas and grab the Doritos and eat the Doritos instead. The push. You see, friends, this morning, you've heard Pastor Nick talk about the provision, how that every person in this place, God has provided a gift in your life. There's probably not a person in this place who would disagree with that. They see it in Scripture. It's so clear. We all have been given a gift, the provision. Pastor Haley talked about the purpose, how that each of us has a gift, and it's for a purpose, which according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, it is to meet needs. We know that purpose. We know the provision. So the question that I have is, why do we so often have so many needs that go unmet? Why are there so many times where people come to church, but they don't utilize their giftings? And the answer that I come up with is this, is that we just don't have the right push inside. We don't have the right push, that external force, that force that causes us to go in a specific direction that says, I'm going to use the provision that God's given to me to meet a need. You see, what happens is we hear about a need, and we begin to come up with some other excuses, these other pushes that say, you know what, I'm really busy, and so I'm going to pull away from this opportunity, use my giftings to meet a need, and the push pulls us away. Or maybe we think to ourselves, I'm just too tired. I'm so tired, I just can't use my gifting anymore. I just need to rest. And the push sends us in a different direction. Or maybe we're insecure with our giftings. Maybe we feel like our giftings are so minimal. Maybe we don't have a speaking gift. Maybe we don't have a singing gift. Or maybe we're not great leaders. And we think, man, all I can do is just serve. And so it's our self-worth, our insecurity that pushes us away from using the provision to meet the purpose. Or maybe we're just afraid. We're afraid that if we step out and use the gifting that God's given to us to meet a need, that perhaps we'll fail. Perhaps we'll feel underutilized. Perhaps whatever fear comes in our mind, we're afraid. And so we don't have the right push, and we leave the giftings dormant in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 says that when God has given us the gift, the purpose, or the provision, for the purpose of meeting needs, the words that come at the in verse 11 says that in order that through everything God may be glorified in Christ Jesus. That in everything God may be glorified in Christ Jesus. You see, the push that has to be in our lives, not just going to heaven, but the push that has to be in our lives with the giftings that God's placed inside of us has got to be, I am going to go in this direction with my gift to meet a need because I have been designed to glorify God in Christ Jesus. That push to glorify God has got to be greater than the push to be comfortable, greater than the push to stay away from what we're afraid of. The push that is greater than accepting the fact that maybe we don't have the ability that's great enough, the insecurity that comes about. This push to glorify God. And you may be thinking, well, I don't use the word glorify very often in my daily language. What does that mean? It means to give someone their true value, to bring honor to somebody. There's this crazy story that I love to tell. You know it so well. It's in the Bible. This little boy is hanging out. His mom has provided him this little lunch, five little Swiss Chalet buns, two little fish. He's got a little brown paper bag. His mom's giving it to him. He's been sent to this big, big meeting, and there's all these people. There's like 5,000 men, and there's probably like another 5,000 ladies and a bunch of kids. The place is chaotic. But there's this one man who does these supernatural things named Jesus. He's a miracle worker, and he's a great teacher. And the little boy is standing there with his lunch just listening to Jesus. Everybody's captivated. And as he's standing there, there's some disciples, these guys that are following Jesus, and Jesus comes over to them and says, hey, guys, I can hear the growling in their stomachs, somewhat like what's going on in your stomachs right now, right? I can hear the growling in the stomachs of the crowd. And one of the disciples says, you know what, we should probably let these people go. And Jesus says, no, you know what? I want you guys to feed them. And then he just kind of walks off. And this little boy stands there, and he starts to hear these disciples start to argue. Where are we going to get enough food to feed all these people? What are we going to do? Is Jesus out of his mind? This is crazy. And this little boy is standing there, and he's got this lunch that's been given to him by his mom. Just a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish to meet his needs, he thinks. But then he thinks this. What if I could take what has been put in my hands and make Jesus famous? What if I can take what's in my hands and help Jesus with this problem, meet a need? I can take what's been provided and I can meet a need so that Jesus can be celebrated. And this little boy walks up to the disciples. Excuse me. Tugs on the shirt of one of the disciples. What do you want, kid? Do you want to use my lunch? And he takes what's in his hand and he puts it into the disciples' hands. And they have nothing else to give to the crowd. So they come over to Jesus and they go, hey, Jesus, little kid over here, he's got this crazy idea. We've got a few little buns from Swiss Chalet and a couple fish. What do you want to do with that? And Jesus goes, that's just perfect. Get them to all sit down. Get the crowd to sit down. And he takes this little lunch that's been given by the boy and he prays, Father, just bless this. Multiply it. Amen. And they begin to spread it out. And you know what happens? Every single person who's there receives what they need. They ate enough. Their needs were met because a boy brought what was provided to him to help meet the needs. And here's what happens at the end of the story. Everybody is so full. There are 12 baskets full. There's a miracle that's taken place. They are so amazed that when Jesus leaves this area, he goes to the other side of the sea. They want to follow him because they're not thinking about the little boy. They're thinking about the one who performed the miracle. They're thinking about the one who took what was given to him and multiplied it. And they are glorifying and honoring and giving value to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this, that when we take what God has put in us, the provision, and we use it to meet a need, then Jesus gets famous. Jesus gets glorified, just like he was in this story. Friends, I want you to know that the push inside of you every single day is not just to live a moral life, is not just to stay away from sin, is not just to have worship, but the push inside of you must be something that says, today, whatever Jesus has put in my life, I'm going to use it to meet a need, not so that I could be made famous, but so that in everything, God would receive glory through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. What does that mean if we don't? That means that when we don't use the giftings that God's provided to meet needs, the purpose, then we hold on to these things, that we rob God of the opportunity to be glorified. And friends, I want to tell you that there are some people here, that I've been there before in church life, in my own journey. I'm not here to scold you, but I'm here to let you know that you've got some amazing gifts, as Pastor Nick has said, and Pastor Haley's talked about the many needs, and you are holding back on the opportunity to bring glory to Jesus Christ by holding on to your gift. Let there be a push inside of you. A push inside of you that says, everything that God's given me, I want to use it to bring glory to Jesus Christ. I want to use it to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Pastor Steve, I'm going to ask that you come back. Yesterday I was in Toronto. My oldest son got married, which I'm so pumped about. Yeah, you can clap for that. And so they flew out of Pearson this morning, and so my wife and I, we had both our vehicles there. We had to pack up the entire vehicle. In fact, we got in at 4 in the morning, so if you just go outside and look at my tribute, you'll see that it's jam-packed full of things. It looks like a U-Haul truck. And my wife's car is just jam-packed. And so we piled up all the elements from the reception and from the wedding, and my car was full. And then we had the gifts, and we put them in Ainsley's car. And you look in the back of her car, and the car is just full of the gifts. The plan is this: we're not keeping them, by the way. The plan is this: we are going to some point this week take these gifts over to Bailey and Katrina's apartment in Sandy Hill, and we're going to drop them off so that when they get home next week, they'll be able to open these gifts. Now, here's what I want to ask you: what if they get home and they see all these gifts that have been given to them for a purpose to meet needs? And they take these gifts and they go, this is so incredible. And they open the limited closet space that they have. And they open it up and they start to push those gifts into that closet. They take all those cards that I know are full of money. And they put those into the closet. And they pile it all up in the closet and they close the door. And a couple weeks later, they want to make toast. And they're sitting there and going, man, I wish we had a toaster. And there's a toaster in the cupboard. And Bailey's car's muffler is sitting in my garage, and he finally someone says, "You better get that fixed or you're going to be in big trouble." And he's like, "If I just had money." And in the cupboard, in his closet, are these envelopes with cards with money. And he's like, "Man, I just wish I had money." But he leaves them in there. And day after day, they keep finding themselves in need. And all the provision is right in the closet. How ridiculous would that be? Friends, not only how ridiculous would it be to meet their needs, but how dishonoring it would be to those who brought the gifts to give to them. And I want to tell you that so many times it becomes very easy to take the gifts that Jesus has given us and to put them in the closet. We thank Him for what He's placed in our lives, and we put them in the closet, and we close the door. And we appeal from the platform or from broadcast emails or whatever it may be to the needs that we have in the church. And the people who have the opportunity to give honor to Jesus, have the opportunity to meet a need, they have the gift in the closet. They just need to take it out and let it be used. Every single person in this place has the opportunity to bring glory to God by taking the provision, meeting a need, and letting Jesus be glorified. Let me just say one last thing. There isn't a dream in this for this church. There isn't a vision in God's heart for this church and this community that God hasn't already provided the needs right with the people that we have. Every dream of God, every purpose of God is able to be met by the people in this room. Just open your closet and take out the gift and see what Jesus will do. Would you stand? 6 people stood in the baptismal tank today. It wasn't just a religious ceremony, but it was their opportunity to say, "Jesus changed my life." Public declaration. And you heard from various people. I think about Daryl, and just I heard him say last Sunday as we sat around the table, and even this morning, "The last 5 months, my life has been completely changed." And you saw the celebration in this place, and you're in this place, and you'd say, "Pastor, the truth is, I've never given my life to Jesus, but I want the truth that they've experienced. I want the peace that they've experienced. I want the joy that they've experienced. I want what they have." And I'm here today to tell you that Jesus has what you need. He has the life that you've been desiring. You simply need to say, "I want Him to be in charge from this day forward." With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if you're in this place, you've never given your life to Jesus, but you want to do so this morning, would you just raise your hand? Would you just quickly just raise your hand in this place? I feel like there's a few people. All right. If you didn't raise your hand, maybe you came here today with a friend, or maybe you came because a friend was baptized. I'd ask you to just have a conversation if you've never given your life to Jesus. Have a conversation with the friend who brought you, the friend you came here for. Ask them a little bit about Jesus. Because friends, in this church, we believe that God has provided the gifts for His purposes so that the push that He would be glorified is not just for the older people, it's for the younger. We believe that every person, every age, God's placed giftings in. And a church that takes hold of the giftings that God's provided, both young and old, can do anything for the kingdom of God. This is the church. The series is called In Search of the Church. It's the young and the old coming together with the giftings that God has provided to meet needs all around so that Jesus Christ will be glorified. And so, Father, as we conclude this service, I am so thankful. This isn't just a church of seniors. This isn't just a church of adults. This isn't just a church of young adults. This isn't just a church of teenagers. This isn't just a church of kids, but this is a church of generations. This is a church of people of every age and every ethnicity. And God, in the diversity of Community Pentecostal Church, you have placed a diversity of giftings. You have provided every gift that this church needs. And you have placed those things so that we can meet the needs in this church and the vision you have. And God, I'm asking that as we lay hands on adults and as the adults lay hands on the shoulders of children, that God, you would fulfill the purposes that you have so that you can be glorified through the giftings in every person in this place. I pray children will discover the giftings in their life. I pray teenagers will discover the giftings in their life. I pray that adults will discover the giftings in their life. I pray that our seniors will discover the giftings in their life. And God, we would use our giftings to meet needs so that in everything God may be glorified. Through Christ Jesus, let our push not be our comfort. Let our push not be our insecurities. Let our push not be our fears, but let our push be to lift up the name of Jesus Christ through the giftings in our life. And I just pray that as we do as a church, young and old, that we will be so excited because God will be lifted up in this place, in this place. So Holy Spirit, as we are about to close this service, and leave this place. I pray this week, every child, every teenager, every adult would use what's in their life. Use the little lunch and make you famous. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone.